always thought there was a difference between teaching Sunday school and preaching. I don't know if there really is, as they said about Brother Clymer. They said when he taught Sunday school, he taught hard. So I guess that meant he preached when he was teaching Sunday school. But it is a privilege to stand before you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start where Pastor left off in Ephesians 6:18, where he was talking about the armor of God, and he never quite got to this part, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And I was, you know, after I came here from Chicago, I really never thought I was going to preach anymore. So I got rid of all my books and all my notes and everything. And I found that evidently we did bring one little box of notes. And I thought I'd look through that and see if I had anything on prayer. And I didn't have much, but I had a little letter that I had wrote to, a group of people in our church, and I don't know which church it was, because it's addressed to dear prayer warriors. And this is what I wrote, and it could be 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'm not sure. But here's what I wrote to them. We have the great privilege as the children of God to pray to the Almighty God. Prayer is that divinely ordained link of communication and fellowship between God in heaven and his people on earth. It is the prayers of God's people which avails the resources of heaven to be dispensed upon the needs of earth. Prayer is the most powerful weapon known to man, and it reaches the deepest recesses of human need, and there is no place on earth where the power of prayer cannot be felt, for it reaches everywhere. Dr. Henry Blackaby has said, prayer is not the entrance to some great work, but prayer itself is the great work of the church. Not only is prayer a great privilege, but it is our great duty, and our prayer is our greatest need. We must pray! ! And I looked at that and I thought, that's pretty good. And, you know, you surprise yourself sometimes the things that you might have said or wrote. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. And we pray all the time. And I thought when Pastor said, I want you to speak and teach for several weeks on prayer, I thought to myself, what do I really know about prayer? All I know is what the Bible says about prayer, and we try to follow the scripture and what it says about prayer. This man that I mentioned, Dr. Henry Blackaby, he was well known. Well, he came from California. Then he went up to Canada. He went from a very large church to a very small church with a few people. And if you ever read his story, the things that God had allowed him to do, and ultimately to establish many churches in Canada, to establish a seminary, and see many people come to Christ. But he made a statement about prayer. He said, God always answers my prayer. And you think about that for a moment, we might say, well, yeah, he might say, okay, I'm going to do that, or he might say, no. Or he might say later, but that wasn't what he was saying, because I had a chance to talk to him about it. And he said, God always answers my prayer. He said, because when I pray, I always pray in the will of God. And I thought, wow. And he said, if someone comes to me and says, my mom is sick, or my dad, or someone, I want you to pray for them. He said he always goes before the Lord, and he was able to ascertain by the Spirit of God whether it was God's will or not. And he would tell people that I can't pray for that individual because I don't know God's will. But he said, but when I do know the will of God, then I pray. And he said, and God always answers my prayer. Now, I've never reached that level in praying. I don't know about you, but I thought that was an amazing statement. And if you knew the man, if you had met the man, you would likely want to believe that what he said was true, because he's an amazing man of God. And so, you know, there's all kinds of prayer in the Bible, isn't there? There's confessional prayer. We pray and ask God to forgive our sins. There's the prayer of faith, where we pray for the sick. We talk about being like Elijah, and we talk about that earnest prayer that he prayed for the rain to stop, and it stopped. He prayed for the rain to start, and it started. One thing that he leaves out in the book of James is that when you read about the prayer for the rain, he didn't just pray one time, he prayed seven times. So we know there's that persistent prayer. In Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, and I believe prayer is the most powerful weapon. You know, we have all of those other weapons, the armor that God has given us. For even though we're in the flesh, he said we don't war after the flesh. But the weapons of God are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Pastor talks about those different weapons in the armor that we have. But here in verse 18, I want to continue on that thought. And before we do, let me pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. I feel unworthy, but yet by the Holy Spirit, we will attempt, Father, to speak truth. And I pray that the lesson will be a blessing to everyone here. And may you get all the praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. And it's okay. It's not a rhetorical question. You can answer. What is the ultimate purpose of prayer? What is your thoughts on that? Yes. Okay. Everything ultimately has to give glory to God, and that is so true. Anyone else? Pardon? Communicating with the Lord. Very simply put, that's what prayer is, right? It's talking to God. We often say that, you know, in prayer we talk to God, and in his word he speaks back to us. And I think there's some truth to that. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? The ultimate purpose of prayer. Don?
Yeah, sometimes to know God's will. Sometimes we don't know how to pray or what to pray. He wants us to be aware of our needs, of our needs of sometimes we don't even know.
Right. Well, you know, in Romans 8, it talks about we don't always know what we ought to pray for. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray with, it says, groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Holy Spirit always brings us into the will of God, is it what it says there in the text in Romans chapter 8. We all know Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things work together for good. Does anybody know what Romans 8:29 says? The next verse after Romans 8:28. What's this? For whom he foreknew, he predestinated us that what? Pardon? That we would be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren. I believe the ultimate purpose of prayer is exactly that, to bring us into the will of God and the mind of Christ, so that our prayers and our life begin to conform with the will and the purpose of God, that ultimately you and I are like a bunch of little Christ. We're to represent him, and people are to see Christ in us. So those are good answers, and that's something for us to think about, kind of a difficult question, You know, I was talking to my daughter this morning. Several years ago, my 7-year-old granddaughter, Lainey, died of cancer. And we had prayed and prayed and prayed. I really believe God was going to heal her, because I've seen many people healed over the years as a result of prayer and often fasting. But God chose to take her home. And I really struggled with that, that somehow I was outside of the will of God, not understanding the will of God. It's probably some of you have been there. But they told me one of the things that Lainey said before she died, and this is really pretty deep, and I'm glad she shared it with me because I hadn't heard it before. And she said to her mom and dad that if God heals me, what if when I get older, she said, I stop believing. She said, but right now I believe and I'm ready. And I thought, God sees the future. Maybe there was something to that. But isn't it great? She said, I believe right now and I am ready. They said one time when she was in hospice, you know, she would sleep a little while, then she would wake up, and her mom was there with her, and she had been sleeping, and then she woke up, and then she looked around and she said, I'm still here. Out of the mouth of babes. Well, here in, I know I went real long on Wednesday night. I was telling Pastor, you know, preachers, when you get to preaching and you start chasing rabbits, I said, I thought about it when I got home. Some of the things I said about my personal life, I said, had absolutely nothing to do with the message. I don't know how they got in there, but they did, so I hope I didn't bore you to tears with some of that. But look at what Paul says in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So he begins, and this is part of our spiritual armor, praying always, as it said in Luke 18:1. Praying always, don't quit, don't give up, don't get too tired. He says we're to pray always and not to faint. And you know, sometimes I know we could get discouraged and feel like giving up, but you know, God hasn't changed. Amen. He hasn't changed. He still answers prayer. I know when we talk about miracles in the Old Testament, they're few and far between, and we probably know most of the miracles in the Old Testament, but it's not like they were happening every day. There could be many, many, many years between the miracles, these high points in the life of Israel. But you know what? We may not see miracles every day, but you might say, well, every day when we get up and open our eyes and we could breathe, that's a miracle, right? We're still alive. We are kept by the mighty power of God unto the day of salvation, is what Peter said. So every day we could trust the Lord. And I thank God when I get up. You know, I don't walk as good as I used to. I have a little neuropathy in my feet. And, you know, and you remember back when you could get up and hop and skip and jump and get around. Well, I can't move, but I thank God that I could still move, amen? And so every day if I wake up and I could get up and move, that's an answer to prayer in itself. So I thank God for that. So he said, praying always, and he talks about with all prayer and supplication. There's so many different types of prayer. You know, we pray for people to be healed. We pray for people to have wisdom. One of Paul's prayers where he prayed for the church to have wisdom and understanding and knowing the will of God. So Paul says when you're praying, pray about everything. Don't leave anything out. Just pray about everything that God would work as only he can do. And, you know, we never know what God is going to do in response to our prayer. We went out a couple of weeks ago. We had a man pray to receive Christ. I've been praying for him that God would really help him to grow, that he really meant that prayer. And, you know, it's pretty exciting when we could get to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things I always try to pray for. God, give me someone that I can witness to. Give me someone, because, no one is a natural-born soul winner, I don't think. You know, even the Apostle Paul said, He wanted to be all things to all men, that by all means some might be saved. But you know, many of you have said, and I said, I think Hank mentioned last time, when we go out, sometimes we're a little apprehensive, we're a little nervous, because we know it's not our strength, it's not us, but it's got to be God working through us. So witnessing, you would think in one way it ought to be natural, it ought to be normal that we want to tell people about the Lord, and yet we have to fight against it. The flesh doesn't want to do it. Brother Hiles once preached about soul winning, and he said, you know, one of the first things, he said, when I'm out doing anything, my feet get cold. And he said, that's what happens when it comes to witnessing. I get cold feet, and the feet just don't want to go. But he says, pray about everything. There's nothing too small that we can't pray about it. And there's nothing too big, because there's not anything that's impossible with God. You know, Brother Falwell talked about when he came to Chicago, and he made a deal to buy Liberty Mountain. I don't know if any of you ever heard his testimony on that. And I forget what the offer was that he made for Liberty Mountain, where he would build his university and everything. But he made an offer, and he didn't have any money. Oh, boy, I tell you, I don't know I'd ever do anything like that, make an offer and not have any money. But you know what? It was God's will, and God provided. God has a unique way of providing things. Amen. You know, he talks about in James the prayer of faith, about healing the sick. I wish I knew more about the prayer of faith, but I know that when we pray, we're supposed to believe that we receive what we ask for. We're supposed to believe that God is able to do whatever it is that we're asking him to do. So we need to have that attitude when we come and pray. So praying always, he says, with all prayer and supplication. And notice what he says here then, in the Spirit. Would someone read Romans 8, 26 and 27? Soon as someone finds it, Romans 8, 26 and 27. Amen. Notice at the end of that, he's always going to lead us into the will of God, because he knows the mind of God. He knows our mind. And we need to rely on the Holy Spirit when we pray. How often do you talk to the Holy Spirit? See, I believe the Holy Spirit is God. I don't understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but I think all three are God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with praying to the Holy Spirit to help us understand the mind of Christ. What does the Father want us to do? He says, because of our infirmities. You know, what did the one man pray when they came and his son would cast himself into the fire because he had a demon? And Jesus came and he said, your disciples have prayed, but they weren't able to cast out the demon. And you know, we're kind of like that man sometimes where he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever found yourself there? He says, we have infirmities. We have weaknesses. Sometimes we get weak in the faith. We get weak physically, and our strength seems to ebb away. But he says, you come to the Lord in your infirmities, and then the Holy Spirit will begin to pray with words. We can't find the right words. Have you ever been there? You want to pray and you're not sure how to pray. You don't know exactly what to pray for. And I've said that to God. We've said that many times coming up to this election that just passed. Lord, we don't know your will. We don't know what to pray for. We know what we want, but we don't know what you want. And so the Spirit of God prays with groanings which we cannot articulate. We can't say them. And I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit, but also the Lord Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints of God. You know, intercessory prayer, too, is one of the things, praying for one another. And I think Paul includes that in what he wants us to pray for. And so intercession the Holy Spirit makes according to the will of God. And then he says, watching. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching. You know, one thing about the return of the Lord, we're to be watching and we're to be waiting. We're to be ready and prepared because we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when the Lord is coming. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because you know where Jesus gives the illustration. If the ruler of the house delays his coming, how there are the leader there might beat the servants and everything. Because he delays his coming, they don't know. Maybe if we knew the exact moment that the Lord is coming, we think, oh man, I would be such a great Christian. Maybe not. Maybe we'd live like the devil up to the last possible moment. And then say, okay, I know he's coming. I better get ready. Well, you know what? If you're lost when Jesus comes, you're going to still be lost. But if you've prepared, if you're saved, praise God. Nothing you could do to lose that salvation. And I mentioned about assurance in my message the other night. Aren't you glad that you know these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life? Oh, there are so many people today, they don't know, they're unsure. They say, I hope so, maybe so, que sera, sera, if it all works out, you know. No, God wants us to know. He wants us to have that peace of God. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, he says to be careful for nothing but everything by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God wants us to have that assurance, that knowledge that I belong to God. I've been born again. Somebody told a story, and I don't remember who did it, but they were in it was like a grocery line or a checkout line, whether it was groceries or a store, and he was listening to a fella, a couple in front of him, was witnessing to a guy while they were waiting in line. And he witnessed to that guy, and he's listening, and that guy prayed to receive Christ. And then, of course, the guy that had witnessed to him and led him to Christ went on his way, and this guy was there. And the fellow that was listening to all of this, he said to him, do you believe all of that? He said, yeah. He said, where are you going to go when you die? He said, I'm going to heaven. And he had just prayed to receive Christ. He said, I believe it. And you see, isn't that the key? Faith. I believe it. I trusted him, even though some stranger had just led him to Christ, and yet this man came and wanted to see if he could shake him a little bit, but he was steadfast. I know I'm saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. Folks, that's good news. That is good news when you can know that. Watching with all perseverance. And you remember the story of the man who had a friend come in his journey at the midnight hour, had no bread to serve him. And he kept asking, kept knocking because of his importunity. He got what he was asking for. And it's the same with the widow in Luke 18. She was there before this judge, and he didn't regard God. He didn't regard man. He wasn't interested. She said, I want to be avenged here of my adversary. And more or less, he said, woman, what do I care about you? That doesn't mean anything to me. But she kept insisting that he would give her the justice that she was looking for. And he said, you know what? This woman's about to wear me out. I'm just going to give her what she wants. How much more will your heavenly Father, in that text, say, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So this watching with this perseverance, not giving up, not quitting, keep praying. Just like Elijah, he says he got on his knees and he put his head between his hands and he prayed for rain and he told his servant, go and look. And the servant went and looked, said, I don't see anything. And he prayed six times, and he told the servant, go and look. And he said, I don't see anything. He prayed the seventh time, number of completeness. He said, go and look. He said, I see like a man's hand. And he said, tell the king to get ready because an abundance of rain is coming. And then the sky went black and the clouds came and the rain began to fall. What if he would have only prayed one time? He knew God wanted to bring rain, but persistence, that one that was seeking bread from his neighbor, from his friend that came, you've got to give me the bread. I have nothing to set before him. But because of that importunity or persistence, he wouldn't give up. And God answered his prayer. Let me just ask for a moment. Have you seen any prayer in your life answered because of persistence? Can you think of an example in your life? Anybody? Just share it with us if you could think. Yes. Amen. And he's coming. Praise God. Didn't give up. Kept praying. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Amen. 8 years. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody else? Yes, Jeff. Amen. Isn't that great? God is able.
Amen. Yes.
Anybody else have an example? Pastor?
Well, I think of my mom and dad, but yeah, I think about particularly my dad. My dad passed away in 98. I was saved in 77. So for 21 years, I had opportunities to witness to my dad for years, and it just didn't seem like he was going anywhere until he got cancer. And then in that last year of cancer, God was doing some things, and it wasn't long before he died that he had accepted Christ as the Savior. And so that was a real blessing. I look forward to seeing my dad in heaven. My mom got saved as well. Not that same time, she got saved before that, but just God being so gracious to all those years and seeing my dad come to Christ.
Amen. Yes, Brother Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But she kept praying. One day, Jason and I were at the post office, and I get a letter from a fellow I really didn't know very well, but inside there was a check. I handed to Jason, count the zeros. It was a check for $3,000 to buy my daughter a piano.
Hallelujah.
It's like the Lord just slapped me upside the head with two or four. Oh, ye a little baby.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, Brother Park.
A lot of you know our neighbor John, who comes to church and visits, and I pray
Amen. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. And I'm sure all of us have stories about how we've prayed and continue to pray. And he says, supplication for all the saints. You know, God has just showed me something recently about prayer. I get the magazine Voice of the Martyrs, and I support their ministry. And I hear the stories of how Christians are being persecuted all over the world. And especially in Muslim countries, it's by the Muslims. In India, sometimes it's by the Buddhists and the Hindus. And my prayer to God was, I always want them to protect his people, to watch over them. But I said, God, I want you to destroy their enemies. The Muslims that are against them, the Buddhists that are against them, the Hindus are against them. I want you to destroy their enemies. And then I began reading some of the books that they've put out. And do you know how they pray? They don't pray that God would destroy their enemies. They pray that God would save their enemies. And I thought, how can you do that? All the things they're doing to you, and yet they said, we love them and we want them saved. So now I'm with them. I'm praying for their enemies to be saved and that God will deal with it. But I'm amazed at the faith of these martyrs that are suffering for the cause of Christ. So we're to pray for all saints. You know, it's easy for us to forget other believers around the world. America is blessed. We've been so blessed. We've not yet resisted, you know, unto blood. We're not called to die for Christ. We're called to live for Christ, and we seem to have trouble with that. Some people, it seems like, would rather die than to live for Christ. But yet, we need to pray for all of our brothers and sisters, all of our churches. We're independent Baptists. I don't have a problem praying for Lutherans and for Catholics and for Presbyterians and for Pentecostals. I don't know who's saved. God does. And I'm convinced in all of those groups, there's some people that know the Lord. I think there's some good pastors out there that are not Baptists. We may disagree with them on some things, but yet as I listen to them, it comes out. They love the Lord. They believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so we need to pray for all of the saints, not just, Lord, just bless our little group. Bless all of your people all across this great country. And last of all, Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me. Put himself all the way at the end. Pray for me, and he says, that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I think we might all be able to say, pray for one another, that we might speak boldly as we ought to speak. Father God, thank you for your word. I pray this little time we've spent talking about prayer has been helpful. But Father, may we learn to look to you, to trust you. Give us faith to believe that we receive the things we ask for. And as Brother Jason said, may you always get the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.